Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you all are doing well. I want to thank Jonathan for his message, and it ties into the Passover, a time of reflection. And I want to speak to you on a message, similar message, to prepare us for the Passover. So to begin this message, I would like to read an excerpt from an article entitled 10 Inventors Who Came to Regret Their Creations from getpocket.com, written by Kenny Hemphill. Kalashnikov designed the rifle that bore his name for the Russian army at the end of the Second World War. After witnessing terrible casualties in battle and injuring himself, designed to be a simple automatic rifle that could be made cheaply using mass production methods at the time, Kalashnikov, who died in 2014, lived long enough to see his creation be responsible for more deaths than any other assault rifle. I keep coming back to the same question. If my rifle claimed people's lives, can it be that I, an Orthodox believer, am to blame for their deaths, even if they are my enemies? He wrote to a letter to the head of the Russian Orthodox Church in 2010. The article goes on about others who regretted their invention, which included the atomic bomb, the Raleigh chopper bike, pop-up advertising on the internet, and even coffee capsules, affectionately known as the K-cup. Regret is part of everyday life. Regret is expressed by phrases such as, and you could fill in the blanks. What if I only, I wish, why did I, why didn't I? I would imagine as we read through these phrases, we may have involuntarily filled in the rest of the thought. Maybe it brings back a sad moment where we could not be there for someone, or a decision we made that made a major impact in our lives that we are living with now. Maybe it's related to our career or something we said. Maybe to our parents that we wish we could take back. Indeed, when we think about our lives, we can no doubt come up with mistakes, bad decisions, things we did, things we didn't do, that resulted in regret, especially when it comes to members of our family. I've seen the pain of parents wondering if they could have made better decisions with their children. Maybe their son or daughter would be in a better state in this life if they only had, and we can fill in the rest. Maybe it's the pain of adult children after their parents have passed, regretting some of the things they said or didn't say, some of the things they did or didn't do over their lifetime with their parents. And regrets don't only just involve relationships. For example, we may regret a career choice that we have made along the way, or not taking advantage of an opportunity that came our way. And we would all like to go back, wouldn't we? For example, wouldn't we like to go back in time in a time machine and change those decisions? Change those actions now that we now regret. Wouldn't that be great? We all have things in our lives that we have regretted and wish we could have a do-over. What would we change? Would we make a different life decision with regard to our career? Would we change the way we have treated our parents, our spouse, our children? When we have stopped ourselves before we said and did something that only hurt the ones we loved. Maybe we would be there, an event, an occurrence, when someone we loved needed us and we weren't there. What is our story? What would we change? If we could go back in time and jump into a time machine, what would it be? The reality is, every one of us has to live with the decisions we have made or did not make. There's no magical time machine where we can go back and fix things, make a different decision, correct a mistake, change our path. It just doesn't exist. Our regrets can weigh on us, can crush us, can result in an overarching amount of sadness that we feel. When we consider our regrets, we also may be experiencing guilt. In many of our minds, these terms are synonymous, but in reality, they are not. Let's consider the definition of each. Regret from dictionary.com defines regret as to feel sorrow or remorse for an act, fault, disappointment, etc. For example, he no sooner spoke than he regretted it. Another definition, to think of with a sense of loss, to regret one's vanished youth. A sense of loss, disappointment, dissatisfaction, etc. A feeling of sorrow or remorse for a fault, act, loss, disappointment, etc. So what is the definition of guilt? From dictionary.com defines guilt as follows. The fact or state of having committed an offense, crime, violation, or wrong, especially against moral or penal law or culpability. A feeling of responsibility or remorse for some offense, crime, wrong, whether real or imagined. Guilt and regret are different, though the emotions coupled with them may be the same. Sadness, pain, a broken heart, anger with ourselves, and being despondent. Guilt arises from some action that we know was not the right thing to do at the particular time. Whereas regret is the result of knowing something could have been done in a better way from the way it was actually done. While we tend to use the words guilt and regret interchangeably, it's important not to confuse them. There are many things in life for each of us that we wish we could have done differently as we reflect now in our lives or the life in the world around us. Often when we talk about feeling guilty, the feelings we are describing are not guilt, but regret. Regret generally revolves around lost opportunities, where guilt focuses on actions we did that were wrong. During this time leading up to Passover, as we examine our lives, we will experience feelings of regret and guilt. It relates to things we have done or have not done. Many of the feelings will relate to sins that we have committed, but many times when we experience regret, it won't be tied to a sin. It'll be tied to a lost opportunity. Looking back and wondering if there was just something we could have done better. It may not involve sin, but as with guilt, there is pain and it hurts. Today, I would like for us to examine regret and guilt, especially as we head towards the Passover, the impact that it has in our lives and how we, as members of God's family, should deal with it. The title of my message today is releasing the pain of regret and guilt. Releasing the pain of regret and guilt. Now, I'd like to go back to the word regret. All have experienced regret at one time or another in their lives. Maybe we could have done better as a parent. Maybe we should have been there when someone really needed us. Maybe we're just too busy and we regret that. Some of our regrets don't necessarily involve sin, but the pain is real nonetheless. Even God felt regret. We can see it in the following two instances. Let's turn to Genesis 6, verse 6. Genesis 6, verse 6. It states in Genesis 6, verse 6, and I read from the ESV, and the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. 1 Samuel 15, verse 11 states, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. We can see in Genesis 6, verse 6, which I've just read, that God was grieved. The New Living Translation states, it broke his heart. God did not sin. God did not have guilt, but he had the heartache as a result of a decision that he had made. How many times have we regretted and we have broken our hearts? How many times have things crushed us due to our regrets? And even now, as we sit here today, as we're listening to this message, the pain of regret is crushing us now for things we have done or maybe have not done in our lives. At this time, I would like to share a video with you about a project a group of students from Strayer University did with regret.
Regret all the time I wasted, not saying yes to things.
It's something I've always wanted to do since I was little.
Time slipping away, I mean, that's probably the worst feeling in the world, right?
Loads of friends from different walks of life, and it's really hard to keep in touch with everyone.
Up until recently, I was homeless. If I hadn't hurt the people that I had, maybe I wouldn't have been.
I wanted to do so many things, but I can never seem to find the time.
I did all the things that were like plan B. I just never did it.
Thank you.
being bored feels like where I want to be. Feels like where I want to go.
That it's not my regret anymore.
It's hopeful. It means there's possibility.
It is interesting to note that the regrets were mainly expressed by things that were not done. Nearly all of them involved the word not. They were about chances not taken. They were about words not spoken. They were about dreams never pursued. And the consequence of regret can be found in the second half of Proverbs 15, verse 13, if we return there. And I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. Proverbs 15, verse 13. Proverbs 15, verse 13. And again from the New Living Translation, a glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. Having the pain of regret, having a broken heart, can crush our spirit. So how do we release the pain of regret? First, face it. We should face our past squarely and look it in the eyes. Accept that we made or did not make certain decisions. We don't run from it. We don't hide from our choices, but we face it. Secondly, we make amends. We hurt a person, whether intentional or inadvertently, we apologize, mend fences where we can, and then let go. Third, we fight negativity, seek the comforter. Sometimes when we focus on what if, we become negative about our current situation, about our life, about life in general. God has provided us with his spirit, the comforter in our journey. We should access God's spirit for that strength, encouragement, and comfort rather than dwell in the pain, the hurt, the negativity. Psalm 34, verse 18. Psalm 34, verse 18. Something to remember. As we try to break away from the negativity, break away from the hurt. Psalm 34, verse 18, the New Living Translation. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Next, the fourth thing, learn from it. What lessons can we learn and how do we apply those lessons in our life going forward to make us a better person, a better parent, a better spouse, a better son, a better daughter, a better neighbor, a better coworker. As we learn from those experiences, we are willing to share then what we have learned to others. We understand that life's experiences make us who we are, and we take these lessons and grow from them. Turn to Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. It states, and we know all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And finally, the final point in how we release the pain of regret, move on. It's not too late to see our dreams, to reach out to someone we love. There may be some things we cannot repair. Maybe our parents have passed away. Nonetheless, we move on. We move forward. We start each day with a clean slate in which to chart our journey. We all know that we can't go back and change the past. There is no time machine. There are some things in life that no matter how much we wish we could change them, we just can't. In some situations, there's nothing we can do but to pray and accept the things we cannot change and ask God for his help to let go and move forward. This is where we must make a choice. We can choose to accept the things that we can't change and let God work it out together for good in our lives, or we can choose to hold on to the pain, choose to listen to our own voice instead of that of God's. Let's go from the discussion from regret to guilt. The Dictionary of Psychology defines guilt as follows: an emotional state produced by the knowledge that one has violated moral standards. Most authorities recognize an emotional state as guilt only when the individual has internalized the moral standards of society. Thus, it is distinguished from simple fear of punishment from an external source. Guilt, in a sense, is a self-administered punishment. Indeed, when people feel guilty, they tend to want to make amends. Sometimes that results in overindulgence of the person they hurt by their actions. Such actions seem to only end up in failure. In other cases, a person who feels guilty feels the need to take actions upon themselves to administer a form of self-punishment, such as penance. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the word penance as follows: an act of abasement, mortification, or devotion performed to show sorrow or repentance for sin, or to a sacramental rite that was practiced in Roman, Eastern, and some Anglican churches that consists of private confession, absolution, and penance directed by the confessor. There are negative psychological effects caused by guilt. Guilt can make us feel over-responsible, not only for our own actions, but the actions of others, for example, our children. Guilt can reinforce the misperception that life has to be perfect, and we will do everything we can to try to please everyone, whether it's our employer, our coworkers, our parents, our spouse, or children. Guilt may make someone over-conscientious. Oversensitivity becomes a problem as one who becomes obsessed with every aspect of right or wrong in making a decision. Thus, no decisions are made. A person can be paralyzed by guilt through indecision. And guilt can mislead us and can misdirect us. A person may not be able to figure out their true feelings because of irrational beliefs lying behind guilt. Or the feelings might be ignored because of their fear of guilt. And thus the individual becomes effectively unable to respond to anything, positive or negative. And guilt can evolve into shame, anxiety, depression, hopelessness. Maybe we have felt that way at times. Guilt in our lives as a result of our actions can be so overwhelming that it clouds our ability to view life realistically. Psalms 38, verse 4. Please turn there. And I'd like to read from the New International Version. Psalms 38, verse 4. Again, I'll read from the New International Version. States in Psalms 38, verse 4, my guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe we're struggling with that feeling now. Guilt is one of the most powerful emotions within a human's consciousness that shapes one's personality and society as a whole. Guilt governs our behavior, colors the way we perceive ourselves, and slants our outlook of the world. However, when we make a mistake, could we possibly be influenced by the idea of penance, that we have to punish ourselves for the mistakes we have made? Sadly, the concept of penance distorts the biblical concept of repentance. Repentance is substituted by doing penance. Punishment inflicted on oneself to atone, to make satisfaction for sin. I'm not saying not to try to make amends. Such if we break something, we go ahead and replace it. But could it be that sometimes when we have made a mistake, for example, offending another, or we did a person harm, we overindulge the person we feel that we have somehow wronged because it makes us feel good. In addition, is it possible that we may have accepted, even subconsciously, that the more we deprive ourselves, the more we mentally punish ourselves, the better it is? That somehow two wrongs make a right. In these situations, are we not effectively administering penance? Is this what God really wants? Could we be viewing fasting as a form of penance? What about the leavening? Could be in the back of our minds that we view this as some physical action to make amends for mistakes? So is all guilt bad? Should we embrace the idea that we should never feel guilty, that the impact of on our emotions are just too great? And anyhow, it only restricts our freedom. Is guilt only a negative emotion? In other words, does guilt have really any place in our journey in this life? Yes, it does. It does have a place in our lives, and it can have positive effects as well. Guilt tells us when we have let ourselves down. Without guilt, we would never feel that we've done anything wrong. And guilt can be a motivator for change. Indeed, a person that feels no guilt is a detriment to himself or herself and society, for there's nothing to prevent him or her from taking advantage or doing harm to another human. A common modern day term for these individuals is sociopath. In other words, guilt can be healthy to a certain level. Guilt can be the emotional voice response from our conscience that enables us to stay or get back from a behaving in a matter that is inconsistent with our beliefs and values. It can serve as a motivator to change. As guilt causes discomfort, it can be used as a need for changing things in our life, and thus we eliminate the guilt. God, through his Spirit, through the conscience, uses guilt to convict us if we attempt to stray or end up straying from God's word. The idea of guilt being positive or negative force is found in the scriptures. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. And I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There is no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Verse 11, just see what this godly sorrow produced in you, such earnestness, such concern to clear yourself, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me, such zeal, such readiness to punish wrong. You showed that you have done everything necessary to make things right. And here's Paul's talking about two types of sorrow, effectively two types of guilt. One is what we would call good guilt, godly sorrow. The other is bad guilt, worldly sorrow. The kind of guilt that's bad, notice verse 10, is worldly, does not really lead to true change in a person's life. Whereas godly sorrow, noted in verse 11, does. Note the differences between the two types of guilt. Worldly guilt, worldly sorrow, causes us to focus on ourselves. But godly guilt, godly sorrow, leads us to focus on the person or the people we've offended. Worldly guilt causes us to focus on what we've done in the past. Godly guilt causes us to focus on what we can do in the present to correct what we have done. Worldly sorrow keeps us focused on the error. How do we deal with the pain of guilt? In fact, The steps to relieving the pain of guilt mirror to those that we just reviewed with regard to releasing the pain of regret. First, we face it. We face our error, our mistake, and we look at the action we took clearly. We accept that we made those decisions rather than try to put the blame on someone else. We do not run from it, nor hide from it. Secondly, we make amends to God, to others. We acknowledge our sin and we repent. We go before God and ask for forgiveness and strive to change. If we hurt someone, we apologize and mend fences where we can. Third, fight negativity. Seek the comforter. In John 16:8, Christ notes that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. And indeed, God's Spirit shows us the errors of our ways. But also, God has also provided us with his Spirit to be a comforter in our journey. We should access God's Spirit for strength, for encouragement, and comfort, rather than dwell on the pain, the hurt, and the negativity. Fourth, learn from it. What lessons can we learn? And how can we apply those lessons in our lives going forward to make us a better person, a better ambassador for Christ, a better member of God's family? We understand that life's experiences make us who we are, and we take these lessons and we grow from them. Finally, we move on. We move on from our mistakes. We don't relive the pain, but learn from our mistakes. We learn from missing the mark, and we endeavor not to repeat them. The Apostle Paul had many things he could regret from the experiences before he was called by God. He could have dwelled on them to the point that he could not function, but he moved on. Turn to Philippians 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." Psalm 32, verse 5, if we turn there, capsulizes the 5 points we just covered with dealing with guilt. Psalms 32, verse 5. Psalms 32 and verse 5. States in Psalms 32, verse 5, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Selah. Acknowledge, not hiding. Confessing before God, not hiding. Realizing that God forgives our iniquity, and it gives us comfort. And where we can learn from our mistakes, and then we can move on. That does not mean the physical penalty of our sin goes away. Sometimes we have to deal with the physical penalty in our lives of the mistakes we have made. But moving forward means is that we do not continue to punish ourselves or relive the mistake. We move forward, that we are at peace with God and with others. A person experiencing godly guilt understands the following scriptures when it comes, the scripture when it comes to sin, to our shortcomings and to the mistakes we've made. Isaiah 44, verse 22. Isaiah 44, verse 22. Isaiah 44, verse 22. States, "I have swept away your sins like a cloud. Have scattered your offenses like the morning mist. Oh, return to me, for I've paid the price to set you free." Many times the corrective actions that come out of worldly guilt are motivated by the desire to stop feeling bad. Actions that come out of godly guilt are motivated to repair relationships with God and with others. The actions of godly guilt actually promote personal growth, builds godly character, and focuses on doing the will of God. It leaves the mistakes made in the past behind, realizing that God has swept them away. So there's a question we need to ask ourselves that only we can answer. Why do we keep reliving, rehearsing, remembering sins of the past when we've gone before God and repented? When he says he has no recollection. When we review them with God, it doesn't make sense if they've been forgiven. But yet, how many times do we do that? Worldly sorrow will often result in temporary change, since at its core, it only tries to alleviate the pain of guilt. Godly sorrow results in true ongoing change and becomes part of our character. We all deal with the pain of regret and guilt, and we can be released from that pain by one, facing the situation that led to those feelings. Two, making amends with God and others. Three, we fight negativity that accompanies regret and guilt. Four, we learn from our inactions as well as our actions. And five, we move on, knowing God has forgiven us and makes all things work out for good. In closing, I'd like to read three scriptures. We won't be turning to each one of these. And as we prepared for the Passover, let us remember these scriptures. The Passover symbolizes the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. But in addition, as a result of Christ's sacrifice, we were given the opportunity to have the Spirit of God in our lives. The Comforter, it's not the hammer, it's not the sword, it's not the mallet, but the Spirit of God is called the Comforter. And it'll be along with us in our journey to provide release from our burdens, to release the pain of our regrets, to release the guilt we feel. Indeed, the Passover, a solemn occasion, is also a time of rejoicing. And the following scriptures demonstrate why. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. 1 Peter 5:10 states, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Revelation 21, verse 4, New Living Translation. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. All these things are gone forever. I would like to, in closing, share screen here. A quote from C.S. Lewis that will give us perspective on how we deal with regret and guilt. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Have a great remainder of the Sabbath.